Thank you so much for joining us online today at Christ Covenant Church. We hope you sense God's presence and are encouraged by the message.
We are smack dab in the middle of our miracle series. Today is part three of that series where we are going to go through scripture and we're going to talk about miracles. And I don't know about you, but the past two Sundays here at Christ Covenant Church have been amazing, y'all. Like, I could listen to miracles all day long. It never gets old. And not just miracles that are happening today, but miracles that happen in scripture, the ones that I've read like 100 times. Every time I read it, it's like, wow, that's amazing. So today we're diving into part three. If you have a copy of God's word with you this morning, will you please turn with me to John chapter 11. John chapter 11. We're going to start at verse 17 this morning. I'm going to be reading out of the NIV, but you can read out of whatever translation you like. I said this last service, King James is totally fine. If that's what you prefer, that's totally fine. And if you don't have a Bible with you this morning, that's all right, because the text is going to be behind me on that big old projection screen. So John chapter 11, starting with verse 17, and it goes a little something like this. On his arrival, Jesus found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Now Bethany was less than 2 miles from Jerusalem, and many Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them in the loss of their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him, but Mary stayed at home. Lord, Martha said to Jesus, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now, God will give you whatever you ask. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Martha answered, I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live, even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this? Yes, Lord, she replied. I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, who is to come into the world. After she had said this, she went back and called her sister Mary aside. The teacher is here, she said, and is asking for you. When Mary heard this, she got up quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet entered the village, but was still at the place where Martha had met him. When the Jews who had been with Mary in the house comforting her noticed how quickly she got up and went out, they followed her, supposing she was going to the tomb to mourn there. When Mary reached the place where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had come along with her also weeping, and was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. Where have you laid him? He asked. Come and see, Lord, they replied. Jesus wept. I stopped here last service. I'm going to stop here now. I love the humanity of Jesus. He's not just some emotionless divine being, right? He was human, fully God. And we see that right here. He was moved emotionally. Let's get back into it. Verse 36, then the Jews said, see how he loved him? But some of them said, could not he who opened the eyes of the blind have kept this man from dying? Jesus, once more deeply moved, came to the tomb. It was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance. Take away the stone, he said. But Lord, said Martha, the sister of the dead man, by this time there is a bad odor, for he has been there 4 days. Then Jesus said, did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God? So they took away the stone. Then Jesus looked up and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me. But I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me. When he had said this, Jesus called out in a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. The dead man came out, his feet and hands wrapped with the strips of linen and a cloth around his face. Jesus said to him, take off the grave clothes and let him go. Ooh, come on, y'all. I mean, somebody just got raised from the dead, y'all. I think we can get a little more excited to that, because today the title of my message this morning is, it ain't over till it's over. Let's pray, y'all. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I thank you for this word that you've given me. I thank you for what you did in the first service. I pray that you continue that into the second service today, the 11 a.m. fire, Lord Jesus. I thank you for the opportunity to speak As I prayed last service, I pray that you speak through me, that they're not just my words, Lord, but your words through me. Those tuning in online, those here in the room, I pray that somebody gets something out of this message, Lord God. We love you and we praise you for being the God of miracles, the God who can raise the dead and heal the sick and have the blind see, Lord. We love you and we praise you. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. I love this passage. I love this passage, y'all. I love the layers that are in this story. Like, we didn't read the entire chapter. There's a little bit more to this story. So I'll give you, like, the cliff notes of what happened. So earlier in this chapter, we found out that Jesus and his disciples, they were somewhere near the Jordan where John the Baptist would conduct his baptisms. They were hanging out over there. While he is there, he gets the word that his good friend Lazarus is sick. And not just a common cold sickness, like Lazarus was deathly ill. Something was wrong with him. And when he hears this, he responds to the person telling him with basically, it's okay, his sickness will not end in death. And then what he does, pretty unexpected, he just stays where he is for two more days. Just hangs out there for two more days. Like, let's stop there. Can you imagine that? Like, imagine if someone you love is sick. And not like a common cold sickness like I was talking about. A sickness that is going to basically kill them. And you hear about the condition they're in. And then instead of going to see them, you're just like, nah, they'll be fine. And you stay where you are for two more days. It's like if I was at a friend's house and I get a call from my wife, Anissa, and somebody is, and she's telling me basically, hey, I'm not doing well. I'm feeling sick. I need you to come home, babe. I need you to come home to me. And I'm like, nah, you'll be fine. I hang up and then I stay there for two more days at my friend's house. That's not a good idea, right? That's crazy. But that's what Jesus does here, and it gets better. After the 2 days, Jesus tells his disciples, okay, guys, let's go to Judea now. And his disciples are not about it, and I'll tell you why. Because a short while ago, people were literally trying to kill Jesus in Judea for some things that he was trying to say. They were trying to stone him to death, but he slipped away from it. And he got out of Judea, and they did not take his life. And his disciples, they try to remind him about it as if he forgot. Like he forgot. They're like, hey, Jesus, I know you want to go back to Judea and all, but you remember the last time we were in Judea? It didn't really pan out the way that we had hoped, right? But this does not keep Jesus from heading back there. Jesus is fearless. Fearless, and I love it. I aspire to be that way. In fact, I said this last service. I'll say it again. I could do a whole series on the fearlessness of Jesus, but that's for another time. Can you just imagine heading back to the place where people were literally trying to kill you? I love it. And so when his disciples remind him of that, he responds to them by telling them that Lazarus had fallen asleep and that they need to go there to wake him up. And that's why he wanted to head back to Judea. But his disciples, they respond by saying, hey, if Lazarus is asleep and he's sick, like, let's let him rest. He'll get better. His disciples weren't really getting it. So Jesus flat out tells him, hey, Lazarus had died. Lazarus died, and we need to go back to Judea. And he also follows this up by saying, it's a good thing we weren't there when they wanted us to be, so that you may believe. Jesus had something cooking up, y'all. He had something cooking up, and it was gonna be good. This is where our text starts this morning in verse 17, where Martha meets with Jesus, and the buildup to a great miracle begins. I've got two main points for y'all this morning, so if you're taking notes in God's house, and I hope that you are, here's point number one. Over-delivery is God's middle name. Verse 21 through 27, if we go back in the text this morning, it says this, Lord, Martha said to Jesus, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now, God will give you whatever you ask. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Martha answered, I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live, even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this? Yes, Lord, she replied. I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, who is to come into the world. In this verse, in this passage, we can see two main things about Martha. The first, she's probably a bit upset. She's probably upset. Upset at the fact that her, not only that her brother died, but that Jesus wasn't there to save him. She even says, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. I can almost hear that frustration in her voice. And understandably, too, Jesus was a good friend to her and her family. He was someone that they trusted, someone that they believed in. And Martha, she sent out the word that her brother was sick. She let him know that, hey, he's not doing well. But Jesus didn't make it in the timely manner that she had hoped. And that type of frustration is so common for us, isn't it? Us Christians, we always have a time frame for where we want God to act. We want things completed by God on our schedule. We say a prayer and we stand back and we wait for God to answer it right then and right there. But God doesn't work like that. God is not a cosmic Coke machine where you put in your prayer, you press your button, and then out comes your answer, right? That's not how God works. God works on his time, which can really leave us flustered, but we must stay faithful. We can't be quick to forget who God is. God is all-powerful, all-loving, all-knowing, and we must remember this. If we go about our walk in faith thinking that as soon as we ask for something, he's going to do anything that we ask for him right then and there, we are going to be disappointed. We're going to be disappointed. And this may be hard for some of you to hear, but it's a good thing that God isn't like that. It is a good thing that he works on his time. It is a blessing. God works in the way in which he works, in which way he knows is best. God's plan is always the best plan. God's plan is the greatest possible outcome for any situation. So if you're here this morning, you're waiting for that prayer to be answered, be encouraged that God will answer it in the best way at the best time. And you can take that to the bank, y'all. We may not see it that way, but God is who he says he is, all-loving, all-powerful, and all-knowing, because God's hands are the best hands, right? It's like that insurance commercial. Are you in good hands? Yes, we are in good hands. Not only good hands, but God's hands, right? God's hands, the same hands that form the heaven and the earth, from the stars and the sky, the fish and the sea. Those are the hands we can put our worries in. The same hands that were nailed to the cross on our behalf are where we put all of our struggles into. Our God is so good. Let us not forget that. The second thing we can see about Martha, she still has faith in her frustration. I would write that down. That's just me. Even though she is upset that Jesus wasn't there when she thought he should have been, she still holds on to her faith when she says, but I know that even now, God will give you whatever you ask. That's faith right there. Regardless of her situation, she knows that God can still come through and do anything that should be done. This is the kind of faith that we need in our lives. Despite our circumstances, we need to know that God can make it right. We can always hold strong to the promises that God makes to us, because what God promises us is certain to happen. What God promises to us is certain to happen. When God speaks, we can take his words to the bank, like I said earlier, and I promise you that check will never bounce, okay? God's word is gold. His word can always be trusted. It can always be depended on. God can never lie. That's what makes him God. He's all truthful. He cannot lie. What he tells us, we can hold fast to. He never says something that he cannot back up. He never speaks to just hear the sound of his voice. His words are gold, and we should always take heed of them. And Martha has this kind of faith, and she doesn't even know what Jesus has planned. But she's got faith that something's going to happen. Jesus even tells her that her brother's going to rise again. But how does she respond? She thinks Jesus is referring to the last day in which the saints and the believers will be brought back. But Jesus had other plans, right? Jesus had miraculous plans, right? Greater plans than Martha could ever comprehend. Which brings me to my second and my last point. Prepare to be dazzled, y'all. Prepare to be dazzled. Verse 38 through 44 says this. Jesus, once more deeply moved, came to the womb, to the tomb, excuse me. It was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance. Take away the stone, he said. But Lord, said Martha, the sister of the dead man, by this time there is a bad odor, for he has been there 4 days. Then Jesus said, did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God? So they took away the stone. Then Jesus looked up and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me. When he said this, Jesus called out in a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. The dead man came out, his hands and feet wrapped with strips of linen and cloth around his face. Jesus said to them, take off the grave clothes and let him go. What a sight to be seen, right? Dead men walking. I wonder what they thought Jesus was up to when he asked him to roll that stone away. I just wonder what they thought. I doubt any of them thought he was going to raise him from the dead. I doubt they thought he was going to bring Lazarus back to life. He had already been dead for 4 days. 4 days in that time was too long for a resurrection to occur. It was common in biblical times for people to believe that after you die, your spirit hovers over you for 3 days. And after those 3 days, your spirit goes into the afterlife and that person is gone forever. And so they thought that the resurrection of Lazarus was not only probably not on their minds, it would have been impossible in their understanding. There's just no way that it could have happened. Even more so, Lazarus being laid in the tomb for 4 days means that the decomposing process had most likely started. Decomposing, y'all. Martha even warns Jesus as he asks for the stone to be rolled away that there is going to be a stench. She's like, hey, it's going to smell. He's been there for 4 days. You see, the cards were all against Jesus, right? But they didn't realize that when the chips are down, when all hope seems lost, that's when God likes to prove himself, because our God is the God of miraculous comebacks. So when everything looks bad, when we feel like there's no way to come back from a situation, God can always win. We don't serve a natural God. We serve a supernatural God, right? A God that moves and make decisions in any way he seems fit, regardless of how impossible those moves may seem. Are there any football fans in the room? Any football fans in the room? Raise your hands. I want to see them. There's a few of them. Okay. I'm not much of a football fan. Okay. I watch it from time to time. I do watch it from time to time. But something that I love seeing is when a team wins a game when it seems impossible for them to do it. Like, there's just no way this team could win. And when I think about miraculous sports comebacks, there's several. I know there are. There's several of them. But there's one that kind of stands out to me, at least. One that I love. The 2013 Iron Bowl against the University of Alabama versus Auburn. Some of you may know what that is. Does anybody know what that game is? That's fine, because guess what? I'm going to give you guys a little bit of context. Okay. Alabama is considered one of the greatest college football teams of all time. And at that time, they had already won 15 national championships, which is like the Super Bowl for college football. And more so, they were coming off of winning 2 back-to-back national champions the prior years, 2012 and 2013. Also, leading up to the game, they had 11 straight wins. They had not lost one game. They were undefeated and were ranked number 1 in the SEC. Auburn, on the other hand, was ranked 4th in the SEC. Not even 2nd, 4th. And this game would decide who would move forward to be able to play in the national championship. And no one thought that Auburn would have a chance of winning. The game commences, and to many people's surprise, there's 1 second left in the fourth quarter, and it is all tied up 28-28. Alabama has the football, and they have a chance at winning the game with a 57-yard field goal attempt. Now, 57 yards is a pretty long kick, even NFL standards. So Auburn decides to put a man in the end zone just in case the kick is short, which would give that man a chance to catch that short kick and try to run it back. A last-ditch effort. Last ditch. So 1 second left on the clock. Alabama sets up to kick. And if you take a look at the screen, you can see what happens next.
Mandel will hold it. Now they've officially made it 57 yards.
Remember, a blocked kick can go the other way, too. You've got to be careful and get it up.
On the way. No, returned by Chris Davis. Davis goes left. Davis gets a block. Davis has another block. Chris Davis. No flags. Touchdown, Auburn. An answered prayer.
Whew, they didn't get to say Roll Tide that day, I guess. my goodness. If you're a University of Alabama fan, I'm sorry that you had to see that again, because I'm sure you see it like every year and you hate it. Your Facebook friends probably tag you in it like every other week. They're like, hey, remember this? And it's like, yes, it's been like 8 years. Can you please just let it go? I don't want to talk about it anymore. it must be painful to watch. In fact, my mom, guess where she was born? Alabama. And she is a huge Crimson Tide fan. So, Mom, if you're watching, I'm so sorry, but come on, you know I had to use that illustration. It was just too good to pass up. No one thought Auburn was going to win that game. And the last thought in anyone's mind is that Auburn would return a short kick for 109 yards to win the game with 1 second left in the fourth quarter. Just like no one thought that when Jesus was at the tomb of Lazarus that he would raise him from the dead. But that's how our God works. Our God is supernatural. He is the God of miraculous comebacks. He is not bound by the limitations of the world. What we see as impossible, God sees as easy. What we see as the end, God sees as the beginning. And we can hold strong to that truth. We can always have hope in our God in heaven because he can and has done the impossible. Not just impossible things in the past, but impossible things today. God did not stop working 2,000 years ago. He is working today. He is the all-powerful creator who's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He will never stop working. He will never lose his power. He will never leave us or forsake us. The same God that rose Lazarus from the dead 2,000 years ago is the same God that can change your circumstances today and forever. It just takes our belief. It just takes our belief. That mustard seed size faith is all it takes. Our great God will do the rest for us. Martha didn't know what Jesus had planned, but she knew that whatever he asked for, he would receive it. She knew that when Jesus spoke it, it was as good as done. So I want to encourage you this Sunday morning that God can do it. Whatever thing you're praying about, whatever thing you're struggling with, God can get you through it. Sickness has to bow before God. Injuries have to bow before God. Stress has to bow before God. And anxiety has to bow before God. He's the creator of all things and has dominance over everything. That is the God that we worship, the ruler and healer of all things. So if you're needing the impossible done in your life, turn to the one who can make that happen, the God of the impossible, because everyone, it ain't over till it's over. It ain't over till it's over. Tony's gonna help me close this service out. Here's what we're gonna do. If you were here last week, it's gonna be very similar. She's gonna play chorus, bridge, maybe a whole song, I don't know. She's gonna play something that's just gonna get us in that moment of spirit. And we need to understand, put your focus on God, who God is and what he can do. She's gonna play this for us. And then after she's done playing, I want to lead us into corporate prayer for certain things that I feel like some people in our congregation are dealing with. So if you will, if you're able to, stand with us. Tony's going to lead this chorus, and then we're going to pray. So Tony, take it away.
Overflow in this place. Fill our hearts with your love. Your love surrounds us. You're the reason we came to encounter your love. Your love surrounds us. We're crying out, overflow in this place. Fill our hearts with your love. Your love surrounds us.
Here's what we're going to do now. I got two things that in my message prep I kind of felt moved to pray about. And it may not affect everyone, but that's okay, because I feel like it's going to reach a few people here. And that's all that really matters, is that it reaches somebody. If you're here in the congregation with everyone's eyes closed and you need prayer for mental healing, would you please just raise both your hands? Mental healing. Mental healing. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Hands all over the place. This is great. Everyone, keep your hands up. Keep your eyes closed. We're going to pray. Lord Jesus, I thank you that you're not just the God that can heal the heart, that can restore the heart, but the God that can heal and restore the mind. As it says in your scripture, you give us a new heart, a new mind, Lord. You can restore all things. Whatever it is, anxiety, stress, mental illness, whatever it is, it can be healed in the name of Jesus. There are miraculous things that can be done to change the lives of those in this room affected by this, Lord. I don't know their circumstance, Lord God, but I know one thing. I can trust in your healing power. I can trust that you are the God of miracles, as it says in your scripture. I still believe it, and I know it to be true, Lord. So I ask that you move in the lives of these people here in our congregation, Lord. I pray that you work your magic, Lord God. Work your miraculous healing power. You are the God of the impossible. Here's the next thing I want to pray for. If you have your hands up, you can put them down. If you're in the room right now, everyone's eyes still closed, and you need a miracle in your relationship, whether it be friend, family, wife, girlfriend, boyfriend, whatever it is, and you need healing in that relationship, will you raise both your hands for me, please? Lord, I thank you for the courage of those in this room to be able to raise their hands and acknowledge that they need your power, Lord, that they need your healing, Lord God. You can restore all things. You can renew all things. It doesn't matter how broken it is. You are the creator of this universe, and you can put anything back together that has been shattered. Doesn't matter how small the pieces are, Lord God, you can do it. And we know that to be true. I pray for your healing to be poured upon those in this room that need it, Lord God. Those that need that miracle work in their lives, let them know that you aren't the God that just helps out their friends and family. You are the God that helps them too. You're not just someone else's God. You're each and every one of our, each and every one of us. You're our God, our personal God, Lord. The one that died for us on the cross to bring that healing, to bring that relationship back. And so I pray for that in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen.
Thank you so much for listening today. If you made a decision for Jesus Christ, or if your life has been impacted in any way, please send us an email at info@christcov.net. We would love to hear your story. And for those that committed your life to Christ, we want to help you on your new journey by sending our free Start Bible Kit in the mail. If you'd like to partner with us financially, simply click on the Give tab at christcov.net. There it will take you to a safe and secure page where you can set up a one-time or recurring gift to help us accomplish our vision, heaven full and hell empty. And as always, you can find out more about Christ Covenant on our website or on Facebook or Instagram at Christ Cove Houston.